commercial real estate can be risky. If you do it the right way, and we have the data to back that up, real estate is actually one of the safest place you can park your money if your time horizon is long enough and your business model around it got multiple layers of ways that you mitigate risk.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. If you're paying attention, you know that you only make money when you work. It might be great money, but it's dependent on you. The information on this podcast will help you solve that. We interview experts and provide analysis into financial freedom through commercial real estate. Why? To help physicians like you thrive. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. This is your host, Dr. Michael McManus, and we are here today with Dr. Vasu Kakarlapudi. How did I do on that?
That was perfect, Mike.
All right. Welcome to the show. Vasu started Apt Investment Group at the request of his friends and partners who wanted to invest alongside him. He has a passion to help healthcare professionals attain financial success through a proven pathway of investments in real estate. With more than 18 years of experience in investing, managing, and developing successful commercial real estate, Vasu has enjoyed the advantage of pursuing his passion for treating patients and his love of the medical profession without having to rely on it to pay his bills. He's a board-certified ENT surgeon with an MBA in entrepreneurship. This reflects his meticulous approach to surgery and his fastidious pursuit to search, acquire, and manage profitable and tax-advantaged real estate in the best markets in the United States. And its expert partnership have a track record of more than $1 billion worth of successful multifamily investments with 100% profitability. Vasu is also committed to meditation, routine exercise, which helps him continue his thirst for lifelong learning. His free time, he enjoys playing tennis and spending time with his family and traveling the world. That is an excellent bio. I love it. Thanks for being here, Vasu.
Yeah, glad to be here, Mike.
So tell me a little bit more, really, what brought you into real estate and kind of got you going in this world?
Yeah, I think like most of your audience, we think coming out of residency, medical school residency, like, oh my gosh, you're going to be starting your practice and you think you're going to have all this freedom because you're going to have all this money and be able to buy whatever you want to buy. And all of a sudden you have this bigger paycheck. And yes, you and I both have found out, and probably your audience has found out, is it's not all that it's cut out to be. And so while all that stuff is true, we're still kind of trading time for money. And I kind of looked around and I had this pie in the sky dream that like, okay, like, when I was around my mentors in practice, that they would be like, oh my God, life is so grand that they had not a problem in the world. And yet, time and time again, I saw these folks and people who I really had a tremendous amount of respect for. And they were complaining about the same stuff that we were complaining about in medical school and residency. And I was like, okay, well, obviously more zeros to your paycheck doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be more happy and fulfilled. But kind of looking around, I mean, I saw a few people who were actually really, really happy. And I was like, being a very curious person, that I think most surgeons are pretty curious people, right? And when I look around, it's like, okay, well, why is it that majority of people are probably lukewarm, happy, or unhappy? And then a certain percentage of people are actually really, really happy. And for me, what I found was that like, okay, these guys don't really need to work. And they're just kind of really just doing what they train for fun, because they, for the passion that kind of drove them into that. And so digging a little bit deeper, it's like, okay, well, how do they do that? Well, they have other income sources. And so in my entrepreneurial mind, I've always had an entrepreneurial mindset, even though I went into kind of surgery, kind of digging a little bit deeper. It's like, okay, well, there's a common thread here, is that they didn't really need to work. So I was like, okay, well, how do you do that? And as you know, we tend to be kind of risk averse people. We're operating amidst a lot of landmines. And so it's like these teachers in residency try to just one landmine, then go to the next landmark, try to avoid the landmines over there. So I was like, okay, I want to do this in the most risk averse way. And so that's really kind of how I discovered real estate, because I was like, okay, this is something that you can do. You can segment your time. You follow a really methodical pathway. Your probability of success is pretty high. There's multiple ways to make money in real estate. The IRS encourages you to invest in real estate by giving you tax incentives. And you heard the old adage, right? They're not making any more land. And so I'd kind of heard of people who were in real estate who had all this money. And I heard that billionaires either made their money in real estate or kept their money in real estate. So I was like, okay, well, I want that. And I want to be a happy surgeon. So it's like, okay, well, how do I do that? And so that's really kind of how I stumbled upon real estate.
Yeah, it's interesting. You touched on a couple of great things there. You know, you say the IRS encourages us to do it. It's so interesting that at least in the world I grew up in, it seemed like that if you were doing anything that you weren't paying your fair share in taxes or you decreased your tax burden, that somehow that wasn't right. And it took a while. And it was really some tax planners that were like, listen, the government's trying to encourage us to go down different roads. And if all you're going to do is be a high W-2 earner, which is kind of what happens to doctors, even if you own your own practice, you're basically still a W-2 for yourself.
Yeah.
They're saying, we're going to tax those people, but there are other things that we'll encourage you to do. So we want people to put money there, and that's real estate. Mm-hmm. Have you seen other docs kind of give that same thing? When I've talked to people, they're like, yeah, I know this guy. And he's a real estate guy and he says he doesn't pay any taxes and that's not right. Do you ever hear that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there is some humanitarian cause. We need public amenities, right? We need to pay for the roads and the security and the police officers and the firemen and infrastructure and everything else. So I think the goal is not to eliminate taxes completely because taxes are essential to help support what the government does and for common good. But again, everyone has their own take on it. I've ran across that argument, but what I say is, hey, listen, the IRS is encouraging you to invest in this because they believe that the private sector does a better job at managing this than they do, because otherwise they wouldn't encourage that, right? So just the more and more you read about it, and I've read folks like Tom Wheelwright who kind of talk about this, is the IRS code is really just about not about what you can't do, it's about what you can do. And at least my moral compass is like, okay, I do want to help support local infrastructure. I still pay taxes. So I pay taxes for a long time. And I certainly want to contribute more than I take, but I also don't want to pay more than I have to. So I guess if your moral compass is telling you something differently, I would not want to sway anybody against their moral compass. But I think that silent majority may just want to continue to pay 40 or 50% of their income in taxes. If they feel like that's their obligation to society, then so be it. I don't really want to try to convince them otherwise.
You know, that's great. Cartwright, when his book, that was one of the first ones where I heard somebody say, if you look at the tax code, it's kind of like a playbook the IRS is giving you.
Yeah.
And they're like, here's our playbook.
Yeah.
And this is what where we would like to encourage people to do with their money because it has benefits that go beyond that. So I don't know, it's always just an interesting one. The other thing you said is you talked about being risk adverse. Mm-hmm. And I just had a conversation, I don't know, it was the end of the week last week with a doc. And he's like, so what's this thing you're doing? And I said, well, commercial real estate. And he's like, oh, be careful. Mm-hmm. So, because there's also that viewpoint out there, because everybody's heard a story of somebody who lost money in commercial real estate. So tell me a little bit more, because I love that you have it in your bio about a meticulous approach to searching and acquiring profitable assets. So just tell us a little bit more about your view on this, your approach to de-risking things. So it's not a risky thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think most of the people that we kind of work with are fellow surgeons. And so I always try to take it back to surgery, right? Surgery has a lot of risks, right? But we still perform surgery, and sometimes surgery has complications that occur. But we do know that if you learn the anatomy and you practice on cadavers and you practice with under the guidance of mentors while you're operating on live patients, that you can really mitigate that risk. And we've taken the same approach to real estate. But the challenge is the barrier to entry in surgery is really, really, really high. Right? So you got to pass a lot of tests. You got to have some academic excellence. You got to put the time and the effort before the system ever allows you to be able to practice surgery. Unfortunately, the barrier to entry to be a real estate investor is extremely low, right? And so anybody can be a real estate investor. And sometimes if you don't follow the proper techniques, and you're not very meticulous, you haven't studied the landscape, and you haven't had some mentors, and you haven't done all of your homework, you can absolutely lose money. There are plenty of people who have lost money in commercial real estate. Your investor friend or your potential client is absolutely 100% right. So that's why you either need to learn it yourself, or you need to work with people who know what they're doing. And so I can't argue with that. Commercial real estate can be risky. My point being is that if you do it the right way, and we have the data to back that up, real estate is actually one of the safest place you can park your money if your time horizon is long enough and your business model around it got multiple layers of ways that you mitigate risk. So it's not any one thing, Mike. It's a combination of multiple different things that in summation helps mitigate your risk.
That's great. As you were talking about the barrier of entry to being a surgeon, I was thinking, you know, that's right. Because you can learn a little bit about real estate and jump right in. It would be like at the end of your cadaver lab in anatomy class, you're like, I got this. I'm going to go do some surgery now.
Yeah.
You exactly. might get away with it. It might not turn out so good.
Yeah, exactly right. It may be very risky.
So for somebody who's just starting out, now that you've been down this road and you've learned a lot, and I always look back and I'm like, man, if I had known this before, I could have gone down this road so much faster and so much better than the way I did it. Mm-hmm. So if you were talking to somebody who's just starting out and said, wow, okay, Vasu, I was listening to the podcast and that sounds great. I want some low risk, good return, tax advantage way to do with my money. Yeah. How do I go about investing in real estate? What kind of advice would you give somebody?
I think the first thing is you have to understand your investments. The first thing you got to do is you got to know a little bit about the real estate game, even if you're going to invest with somebody else. So obviously, if you're going to invest by yourself and take on projects, you definitely need to know something about real estate. But even if you're going to invest passively, I would still highly encourage a young surgeon to be like, listen, I'm going to learn this just like I learned the anatomy and physiology of whatever body parts that I'm currently operating on. And the reason for that is because you don't know what you don't know, right? And so it's said so many times, but it's so true. So you have to learn the basics. So I recommend listening to podcasts like this, learning a little bit about the why of real estate and what are the basics of why you might want to get into that and understand your own why. Actually, I would do a lot of introspection about what are you trying to accomplish. And then if that fits, if real estate fits in furthering your own why of what you want to do, then you learn the basics about like, how do you make money in real estate? What does a capital stack look like? What does a debt look like? What are the metrics that you look for in selecting an asset? Even take a step back. What type of asset do you want to get into? Commercial real estate is a very, very broad ecosystem, just like the world of medicine or the world of surgery. So I think it starts with you figuring out your why, and then learning the basics, learning the anatomy of real estate, the basic architecture of real estate, and then talking to people like you or like me who've done this before. This is not our first rodeo. Learn from them. Ultimately, knowledge without execution is useless, right? So after you spend 6 months or a year and a half, save up some capital and then take the plunge. But I wouldn't take the plunge without investing at least 6 months, if not a year, of really learning about the industry and figuring out if it's one of those things where you just thought of one day or if you're really, really passionate about getting involved in this industry.
Yeah, and there's some great, today, knowledge is cheap. So our information is cheap. Knowledge takes a little more work, but that between podcasts, books, audiobooks, I mean, that's where I started out. It was just in the car listening. And so it's time that you're not doing anything else anyway. Peter Kim's course, Passive Investor MD. One I always like to bring up because it's a great, costs a little money, but then it formats a lot of stuff. And I always like to say that some of these courses, all the information's out there. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on the internet. But sometimes these courses help pack it together. Most companies that are doing investments, that are offering investments, will have some education on their websites. So those are great sources. And even conferences. You know what I learned at conferences is when you go to a conference, to a real estate conference. Well, the first one I went to, I was thinking of it like it was a doctor conference. Like you're going to go and you're going to sit in sessions. And that's where all the learning was going to be. And what I found out, it was more talking to people. And you could hear like a million pitches in a short amount of time. And when you're new, you start hearing the same things over and over again or some things that are different. And that's where it really started to make more sense. Yeah, the jumping in, that's the other one. And that's why I've had people come and they're like, well, when you look at some investments, sometimes it is a high bar, but the minimum investment can be $100,000. What are your thoughts on that, on how to start? I don't know, I know when I jump in, I learn more because I can make some mistakes, but to mitigate the risk, like, okay, if this is a bad investment, how can I limit my losses on that?
Yeah, I think Peter's a good friend of mine. He's done a fabulous job of bringing peers across various aspects of medicine into the real estate world. So I think the type of community that Peter's created with the educational resources is a good place to start. I think a lot of folks like you and I now who have really given a lot of knowledge that we've gained over the years on publicly available resources. So I think that's a good place to start. And then ultimately, I think the most risk-averse way of doing this is to talk to other people, learn the basics. Don't ask other people to do the push-ups for you. Learn how to do a push-up and then maybe check with somebody who's like a trainer who can kind of refine your technique. So I think learning the basics and then working with somebody on the first deal or two, just like we did in residency. I didn't start off doing sinus surgery by myself. I had an attending to kind of help me, even though I learned the anatomy and I knew what to do. I still had a mentor or professor to kind of help me. So I would suggest the same thing for your audience is to, if this is an interest and passion of yours, then learn the basics, find people around you. And the good news is there's a lot of other surgeons now who have realized what we have realized. And so I think there's still a huge amount of opportunity for our field to get involved in real estate. But the good news is there's a lot more people now that we can talk to.
When you say have a mentor, I guess what I thought I heard was if you had somebody who is more experienced, are you saying like, ask if you can go in a deal with them? Like, hey, you're putting $100,000 in this deal. Can I throw 15 in with you to test the waters?
Yeah, or you could kind of create an LLC. And if you only wanted to put in $15,000, you could. It does create a little bit more tax burden on your side. But yeah, you could definitely do that as a group entity. Or you just save up until maybe it's whatever the minimum is. You might want to save up until you can get to that point. But you could invest alongside somebody who's already done some of the legwork to confirm your own investment thesis. So that's another approach.
I guess that's, and if you're investing along somebody who's an established investor, especially if they've invested with an operator before, and you come in and you say, hey, I'd like to try this, but I'm not ready to go in that much. A lot of operators, even though they may say $100,000 minimum, might actually take 20 as an initial investment. They're not going to let you do 20 for forever, but they may say, okay, you want to come and see what we're all about?
Yeah.
We'll let you in the door, especially if you're kind of coming with your friend who we already know we've got a good relationship with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me a little bit more about competitive advantage and things you think that as a doctor, what do you really think a doctor's competitive advantage in this world is?
Yeah, there's so many. There's so many negative secular trends. So it's always a good idea to kind of think about like what is really our competitive advantage. And I think the real estate world, the lending world, the brokerage world, they do have a lot of respect for our degree. Granted, you know, I've been in practice for 20 years and I've seen some of that degradation of the MD degree, but we're still pretty well respected in society. I think the statistics were right up there next to school teachers almost in terms of respect. So I think respect opens doors for you. People have to have some level of respect to have some kind of interaction with you. So that I think respect is key. After that, we are relatively high income earners still. I mean, granted, our incomes are not keeping up with inflation, but our incomes are still pretty high and somewhat stable and recession resistant. So in the lending world, we would consider ourselves credit worthy for the most part. So unless you've got massive amounts of debt that you're taking on beyond your student loans, most lenders, most bankers I've talked to have kind of like, hey, we love to lend to surgeons because we know their income source is relatively stable. We know that their income is not likely to go down significantly with economic trends. And they're just generally financially somewhat responsible enough to pay back our debt. So our creditworthiness is really, really pretty good. And plus, we can delve into this a little bit later, but one of the things that we have found to help other surgeons is to invest in facilities and properties that they actually work and operate in. And so one of the biggest risks in real estate is the quality of your tenant, right? Do you know how good the tenant is going to be in terms of what does their business look like? Are they going to be able to pay you the rent required to lease their facilities? And so when you are your own tenant, you mitigate that big risk. So again, that only works for medical facilities that you are a part of. But I think those are some of the things that I think are competitive advantages for surgeons to kind of think about as they get into the real estate world.
Those are great. I want to dig into those a little bit more, but I think before we start that, this is probably a great spot to wrap up this half of the show. So we're going to wrap up this part and we're going to have the second half of our conversation with Vasu will be in the next episode. So thank you for being here. We'd like to thank you all for spending time with us. Vasu, thank you for being here. And please come back for the second half of our episode with Vasu. And again, follow us, like us, wherever you're watching this. We appreciate the 5-star reviews. It really does affect Apple and Spotify's algorithm to help other people find us. If you're finding this valuable, please leave us a review. And we'll see you next time on the Surgeon Syndicate.
This has been an episode of Surgeon Syndicate. If you found value in this episode, know other surgeons are hungry to become job optional. You can help them by sharing this content today. I also want to serve you better, so I want to offer you 2 things. Number one, I'll be able to give you the content in an even better way if you can take a moment and leave an honest review of the show explaining what you like and what you don't. And number two, if you are a surgeon and serious about this, you don't want to do this on your own because you don't want to make mistakes with your money, I'd be happy to help. Schedule a call. We can make a plan. Looking forward to having you with me on the next episode.